I can do that, yeah.
Well, it is.
Is he going to make it sail?
Yeah, no, I didn't. But it must
be like, oh, it's musky over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did this person cancel?
Maybe did you tell So we need to also
I'll ask for an amendment.
And you're gonna do you want to mention also this grant request?
Not necessarily. That'd be a girl for us. Just amended.
All right.
I used to put the change was. So you don't have to mention it that.
All right, are we ready to go? Okay. I call this meeting of the Washington City Council to order. Please rise, remove caps, silence cell phones, and join us in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody. Amanda, would you call the roll?
Ernest?
Here.
Morgan?
He will join us on Zoom just shortly.
Okay. Moore?
Here.
Ringo?
Here.
Steiger?
Here.
Youngquist?
Here. We have an agenda in front of us.
Make a motion.
Fran, hold off on that. We do have a couple of changes. So, Isla,
I move that we approve the amended minutes from February 20th, and that we add a application from Stuff the Truck for an event on March 16th.
Okay.
Second.
All right. So that was a motion and a second. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Thank you. That was just had to fix a few things. Okay. So we have the consent agenda 1 through 11. Does anyone have any questions or something for further consideration?
I make a motion that we accept consent agenda 1 through 11.
All right.
As amended.
Yeah. As amended.
As amended.
And
I was second.
Second?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, same sign. Okay. Moving on to special presentations, we have several. The nuisance report you have in your packet, we won't discuss that today, but if you have any special questions, contact Anna on that. Maya Yoder is here to speak to us about substance abuse advocacy. Maya, would you like to go to the podium? That way those people online will be able to hear you as well. Welcome. What's that? Oh, putting presentation? I don't know how long it would take.
No, that's okay. I'll go through. Well, thank you so much for your time and allowing me to speak. I spoke with a few council members individually, and they recommended that I just come and present to you all. So a little bit about me. I'm Maya Fyodor, a prevention specialist with Community and Family Resources. And so basically what that means is that my work in my area of service, which is Washington County, is to help communities have access to healthy and whole lives and building community norms so that we can be healthy together. And one way we do that is through prevention. So if you think about the metaphor, if you can imagine a river flowing and there's a bridge and people are walking across the bridge, but there's a huge crack in this metaphorical bridge and people are falling through and falling into the river. And treatment, so that's kind of a metaphor for substance use, right? If people experience substance use disorder and they fall into this river and need treatment and help and assistance, that's the treatment side of things. But in prevention, we ask, how can we move things upstream? How can we fix the bridge, look at the underlying roots of the problem, and ask ourselves, how can we make our communities healthier and stronger together? So another metaphor that I like for my work, and I think can help us look at alcohol together, is the idea of education versus kind of community norming. So if we, one part of the work I do is going into schools at sixth grade level and sharing life skills, which teaches about substances and social emotional learning and how to say no, how to turn down substances, which is great, right? We want to equip all of our youth with those skills to make healthy choices. At the same time, if we equip them with these skills to make healthy choices, and then put them back into a context where behaviors like heavy drinking or binge drinking are normalized, it becomes harder and harder for the healthy choice to be the easy choice. So it's kind of like, you know, taking a frog and teaching them all the tricks, but then throwing them back into a pond that is polluted. So the question is, how do we keep our metaphorical pond clean? How do we create policies and norms in a community to make the healthy choice the easy choice? So in terms of preventable deaths, we know that leading causes of preventable deaths, tobacco is the first, diet and exercise is the second, and alcohol use is the third in the United States. And Iowa just moved from fourth to third in the nation for highest rates of binge drinking. And it's not a title that I feel like we should be super proud of, but in the most, in the 2022 Iowa Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, that was the data we found. And in Washington County, we're a little bit lower than the state average, which is great, but higher than the national average and higher than we would like, because we know that binge drinking is associated with a lot of health issues, including cancer, which I'll touch more on later, because alcohol is a carcinogen, and especially when consumed in large quantities, it increases the risk of cancer. As you know in your packets, binge drinking is defined as 4 standard drinks for males in one sitting and 5 standard drinks for males in one sitting and 4 for women. And it's less than you think. So for it, craft beer, you know, has a high alcohol content. So this could look like drinking 2.5 craft beers in one sitting. And that amount of alcohol is enough to start to increase cancer risk, heart disease, impairment, all of those things. Data on youth is harder to come by, but we know that youth are engaging in binge drinking behaviors through data from the Iowa Youth Survey in 2021. And unfortunately, of those who do drink, binge drink, more than half are engaging in this more dangerous form of drinking, of binge drinking and heavy drinking, and making higher risk choices like driving while impaired. I was surprised that 5% of sixth and eighth graders who don't even have licenses yet admitted to driving or operating a vehicle while impaired. And we know that even in one night of impairment, with heavy drinking or binge drinking, risks of violence or sexual harassment, all of these things increase as well. I mentioned before that alcohol is a carcinogen, and the 2024 cancer report in Iowa focused specifically on the relationship between alcohol and cancer. And Iowa currently has the second highest rate of new cancers in the United States and the fourth highest incident of alcohol-related cancers in the U.S., which makes it the highest rate in the Midwest. So we know cancer is a complex issue, right? There's a lot that goes into it with genetics, and it's multifaceted, but we also know that alcohol consumption is one thing we can control. We can lower the risk of cancer by lowering binge drinking rates. I mean, because we know that that higher risk of drinking, binge drinking specifically, is associated with increases in cancer. So I bring this to you all just as an offering, partly because it's the work that I do, but also an invitation to think about how this community might address this information that you're receiving. So we know that policy change is one way to get at lowering rates of binge drinking. So specifically policies that affect pricing are known to, like, the more expensive alcohol is, the less people buy it, and the less it is drunk. That's there's a lot of evidence for that. But there are vast ways, ranges of policies that could be implemented to lower these kinds of drinking. I think another option too is just community norming. So how we are together, how we talk about drinking, how we host events where drinking is part happening, right? Do we engage in lower risk drinking behaviors, or are we modeling and community norming higher risk, heavy drinking or binge drinking behaviors? And for this council, you might even consider a statement just saying, in our city, we're going to encourage lowest risk drinking because we recognize binge drinking and heavy drinking is a public health issue that we want to address. We want our youth and people across the lifespan to be healthy and well, and lower their risk of preventable death. There's also the option for maybe a more of a community-led initiative. So in your packets, I referenced Evansville, Wisconsin, which unfortunately, I feel like rural communities, we don't have as much data as we should always, but this is a place where it's a rural area. They had a growing Latino population. They have a farming community. They're about 40 minutes from a large city center. So in a lot of ways, it feels very similar to Washington. And they saw the rates of substance use increase in their area, like we see as well, and decided to do something about it, formed a coalition. And one of their initiatives, they called it Lock Up and Talk Up. So talk to kids, talk community norm, lowest drinking, but also locking up alcohol and making it less accessible and normalized. I see a lot of hope too in the city through protective factors. So I think one thing you all can feel really good about is we know that when youth feel a strong connection to their community, their schools, when they have families and parents who disapprove of substance use, when there are positive community norms and a plethora of after-school activities, it is less likely that they're going to engage in high-risk drinking behaviors. And I see a lot of good work happening in Washington, and so I want to affirm you for that because it is a protective factor against substance use. So again, that metaphor, I know it's a little odd, but I like it, of the pond. So we want to teach individuals to make healthy choices, but then also, how are we going to keep the pond clean when it comes to heavy drinking? And what will this council choose to do, or what might you consider for this? So thank you for allowing me that presentation.
Thank you. Thank you. Good. Maya, do you have your contact information anywhere?
I have some business cards I can.
Okay. If you could, bring those to the office and we'll put them in the mailboxes. And so we have your contact information, that would be good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Millie, how long are presentations? How long do they get? 3 minutes?
That is, public presentation.
This is a special one.
This is a special presentation. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. And next is the Washington FFA. I see them in the back of the room. So come up here to the podium and join us.
We have some papers that we'll be handing out to you.
Thank you.
Okay, so hello everyone. We are a part of the Washington FFA. My name is Jade Sheets.
My name is Braden Clow.
My name is Blake Sheets.
I'm Presley Hora.
And we are also here for the Washington FFA Landlord Managers. Today, we would like to talk to you a little bit about our Landlord group and propose to you a new idea. So first of all, what is Landlab? So on your paper, you can read this as well. But Landlab is a student-led group of members in FFA that have volunteered their time, money, and experience into this organization to help farm and take care of the land, as well as learn how to market and get hands-on experience with all of these activities. This is a great learning and teaching opportunity for our younger members, as we are teaching the younger kids in our community to prepare themselves to be young future farmers.
So why are we here? We are here to ask to use the chunk of land this year again. And we want to seed hay this year instead of crop. And we have been farming it for several years now previously.
So the land that we are proposing this idea on is the chunk of ground that is for sale in the industrial park lots right now to the west of the cemetery there on East Buchanan Street. And we were just wondering if you guys could help us out. We're thinking about seeding it down to hay and just making hay there, because with the lots being for sale and stuff, it's a lot easier than us trying to grow a normal crop like corn or beans out there, with the fact that we have to spray and that stuff, and it's gonna become a lot harder to try to spray around the lots as everybody else that's building out there is trying to seed yards and stuff, so we don't kill that off. And we'd also think it's a pretty decent idea to just seed it down and have a seeding establisher.
So a couple of ways that this can benefit the city. Well, this will help that ground to prevent soil erosion, and the lots that are available as of now, it'll establish a seeding in those lots. It'll also create a better viewing for like possible buyers. It'll help them to kind of easily see that rather than if you put corn there. The only cost would be the one-time purchase of this grass seed, and the hay would be maintained for the city by the FFA chapter. So we'd take care of all the labor and maintenance of that. You guys would just have to factor in the cost of purchasing the seed for us.
So you may be wondering, yes, it might. It's going to benefit the city, but how is it going to benefit us as FFA members? So by doing this, it will be able to give more of our FFA members a better opportunity to be a part of this organization. We're planning on opening LandLab up to our entire chapter, which would help to get much more hands-on experience. And with baling hay, it's something that is very common in Washington, Iowa. This will also be a great way to raise money for our chapter so that we can continue to go to different competitions and events statewide, nationwide, and throughout our community. Again, the experience would be for everyone, which is a big step up from what we are currently doing with only having 5 or so kids at a time participate. This would also help kids with their communication skills, as we would be marketing our hay throughout the local community to local cattle and livestock producers, as well as selling to at different selling points like the Kelowna Sale Barn or Keosauqua or different places like that.
How will this help? How is the community going to benefit from this? Increased supply in the local hay for our livestock producers in our area. Seed and fertilizer will be purchased through local producers and dealers.
So for the seed, we've went and talked to some people about what they think we should seed and what we should do in terms of getting it seeded down. So we came up with using a mix that is a GV30 alfalfa plus. So that's just the traditional alfalfa hay with some other grass kind of mixed in there. And the cost that we were given for that is $3.95 per pound. And then we're supposed to seed that down to a rate of 25 pounds the acre. And we have 26 acres to do it on. So the total cost for the whole patch of land to be seeded down would be $2,567.50.
I guess a reason that we would like the city council to pay for this is because of the chunks of land getting sold. It is an expensive price for us to pay for the likelihood of us to not necessarily have that at the end of it. In the past couple of years, I've been on LandLab for several years now since we started farming that patch of land. And over time, it's just gradually continued to shrink for what we are farming. So for that is why we would like the city council to pay for that, as long as we are maintaining it and we would be the ones doing all of the work, if that makes sense.
Another thing to add is we'd like to get this seeded in the next couple of weeks so that we can get a good seeding to cover the land. We'd encourage you to make the decision tonight, but if that's not possible, we'd like a final decision to be made as soon as possible. That way we can just kind of have some time to get the seed purchased and get some decisions, so that way we have a more of a timely schedule getting all of this seeded. But thank you all for your time and considering this proposal.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good job.
I have a question. Well,
there might be some questions that
I have a question. Ahead. So it might be for other. So say they go ahead and do this, which I'm totally for it, and we sell a lot, what will happen then? Does that prevent us from selling a lot, or can they still sell a lot?
Can still sell a lot.
Okay, okay.
Can you get a crop this year? Will it grow? Can you get a crop?
Yeah, so if we seed it here within the next couple of weeks, which is what we're shooting for, mid-March, we would be able to get a good starting seeding that should last 3 to 7 years. So yes, if you look at this price, it does look like a pretty decent sized amount of money, but that is a one and done seeding that will last quite a long time, which hopefully for the cities and should last until most of those lots are sold. So yeah, we would be able to get a seeding and then that would last for many years to come too.
Okay.
How many cuts do you want to get off of it?
We were shooting towards like 4 to 5, but we probably won't get the all of that year. With the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So probably 3 to 4 cuttings mm-hmm. would be the best every like 4 to 6 weeks throughout the summer.
And you're going to do rounders or round bales or small bales?
We're still kind of deciding that. We're still kind of figuring that out. But once it gets closer and we see how many members are willing to help and everything else, that will also depict, are we going to do square bales where you would have to draft that everything else? Or if you would round bale that, which would be a lot simpler if we don't have enough hands.
So when you were planting this with corn, did the city pay for the corn or did you pay for the seed corn? Or how did that work then?
So in the past, we have put all of the inputs in. We've paid for all of the seed of the crops. We've paid for the chemicals, the fertilizer, all of our equipment costs and everything else have come from us.
Uh-huh.
But, however, in years past, we've also lost parts of land, which also means we've been losing a little bit of money that we could be making off that land,
mm-hmm.
which we understand is going to happen since we are farming this,
mm-hmm.
Knowing that the lots are going to be sold. But it's also hard for us to continue to make an income as more and more land continues to get sold and inputs continue to go up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Good explanation. Anybody else?
Do we have money?
Yeah, that's Kelsey.
Can we rule on this tonight?
We're at $8,000. Maybe like $8,300, $8,400. So,
can I make a motion?
Can we act on this tonight if it's not on the agenda?
Because it's going to rain.
I mean, I think what we can do is I'll probably have to draw an agreement up. But I think we've had agreements with that mm-hmm. lab before. So, mm-hmm. but if you want to go ahead and say we're going to go ahead and do this and we can mm-hmm. get the,
what did we have in the past for agreements?
They've had a lease before, if I remember.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, I think ever since I've been here, we've had a lease. This is the old sewer plant property was, right?
Yeah.
No, this is
the okay, this is the other, okay.
Okay.
The other one.
So we can set in motion with mm-hmm. tonight with your motion
mm-hmm.
to go forward with this.
And yes.
They
money.
Need to catch any rain they can get, yeah. So.
Okay. So I'll have a motion. To approve this.
Okay. Yes.
And Fran, did you have a question?
Is there an insurance issue here?
I believe they had insurance from the leases before. So I obviously had the agreement will say they indemnify us and have insurance, but I think they already have it.
They've been
In the past.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if you say it because y'all know what happened, but actually
really the basic.
Make sure everybody's covered.
The basic here is that we're just going to supply the seed as we have it in the past.
But it's still our property, though.
And we're not maintaining it.
And we're not maintaining it.
Doesn't want to bale hay.
We have to pay to get it mowed. How much it costs to mow that every year?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to make that up in a hurry.
You can probably make break even here.
Yeah. And once again, where's the money coming from, Kelsey?
We can do it out of industrial development. That's our business park fund, basically.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Elaine was the second. All those in favor to approve this project, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. Good job. Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck. I hope it rains.
Yeah.
After you get it in. Okay. We have a couple of special event requests. One from the Marion Avenue Baptist Church for something on Easter Sunday in Central Park. Let's see. Amanda, did you have any other information? You were telling me something.
Yes, they are headed to food trucks and they are going to park them since they didn't do the special event request and they are in California right now.
Okay.
They're going to park them on their Spanish church lot.
Oh, okay. And the insurance they will be providing us.
And they will be providing that for this.
Okay.
All right. This is something they do annually. This is the first time we've had this.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, is that a motion?
I would like to make a motion to approve this request for Marion Avenue Baptist Church Easter egg hunt and popcorn and fun day on March 31st, 2024.
Second.
Fran, thank you. Ivan, All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, next is the Stuff the Truck event. This is at the Emporium, which is on North Iowa, I think. And this is the 16th of March. Is there anybody here to, somebody online? Or anybody here to talk about this? Nope. So 9 to 5. Are they setting up some kind of a truck or something? You know,
no, I can talk about it. Okay. This is the first time they've had any events that they were using it for one of our other businesses. So they got it outside from dinner. It's only been in town a couple of times. Apparently she liked the paperwork that the city had when she was having to do these for the food trucks in the past, but we did, I did have a really nice meeting and conversation with her. So she did purchase an annual license to come to many more events that we've been asked about. So basically this is just going to the food pantry, and that'll be at the end of North Iowa and Second, right at that fenced in and the lot past the frontier.
Oh, okay.
They've got to be 100 yards away from a permanent building as well.
Their
service is food.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Anybody else have any questions about this?
I'll make a motion to accept this special event.
Thank you, Elaine. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Fran. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. Next is presentation from the public. Amanda, do we have anyone signed up?
We do.
Speak.
I have Nick Murphy regarding fence post.
Okay. And I remind that everybody has 3 minutes to speak. So
Mike Murphy. Yeah. I want to talk to you about fence post. When you guys were doing the Buchanan project, you busted, DeLong's busted around 10 fence posts, and the city paid for it. Now, when they did the reseeding on this last project, they not only busted a fence post, but they ripped a hole in the brand new fence that is there. Now the question is, when is this going to get replaced? Happens that I was sitting there in the side by side watching it when it happened. He stopped, called DeLong's, said, "I just ripped a hole in the fence and busted the fence post." So are we going to get any repair on this? Are we going to have to deal with someone coming in and doing some wires? Does this include a new fence? What do we do here? But I'd like to have something done. And I know in the past, we've had to pretty much retain a lawyer to get you guys to move to anything. And so I ask you tonight, I hope we don't have to do that. I would like to point out also that you've reseeded that property twice and you've paid DeLong's twice for it. Paid DeLong's also twice for the park property across the way. So I just don't understand why DeLong's can tear things up. And then you guys, it's your business. That leads me to South Avenue E. You have trees hanging over on the side of the road. The other day we had a police car. He was going and scratched the side of the police car. I mean, that's your business, not mine. But I think that you guys could trim the trees off that highway, at least trim it to the ditch. I see all the time that you guys are telling people they need to cut their trees off their sidewalks. Why don't you guys do that there? I've already talked to Jeff Dua, and he said, oh, that'll be done next week. That was 8 months ago. You know, it wouldn't take much for the city to come over and trim it.
Yeah.
Second thing is, do you guys realize they tore the living heck out of that road? And what do you guys expect, the Timber Ridge to pay for that when it comes to a new pavement? I mean, DeLong's made profit doing the golf course housing project. Leakey's made profit. The housing people made profit. The construction people made profit. And they left a road in disrepair. So I kind of wanted to bring that up because I want to make sure that when this comes back up in front of the city council and Timber Ridge said, why are we paying all this money or something that got tore up by somebody else? Why isn't the city coming after them and having them repair it? So I wanted to make sure this was a public situation. So that way, when this comes up, you're able to look back into these records and say, hey, wait, someone's already pointed this out to the city. Why aren't they moving? The last thing I would like to talk to you guys about is I don't know if you guys all aware that the city made thousands of dollars to the folks because you guys illegally went onto their property and put culverts in there. And then the second of all, Dad told you that you were going to flood his field. He's not an RA. He's not anyway an engineer. The engineer and your administrator promised that it wouldn't flood the field. Your engineer tech even looked at it. DeLongs, who do dirt work, looked at it. And lo and behold, you guys had.
Thank you. Your time is up.
Lo and behold, you guys still paid him thousands of dollars and gave DeLong more money to rebuild it again.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have anybody else signed up to speak? No. Okay. Let's move on to claims and financials.
Okay. I wanted to clarify under parts for Amazon, it says handsaw for $190.87. That was a chainsaw. So that was a question because it looked a little funny. Another question that we had was under cemetery and road use for $2,500 was the international truck repair. The cemetery has a truck that was not functioning. So the cost is split between the two because during the winter, the road use is going to take it over to plow because it can't plow the cemetery street. So there was a cost share in that repair. And that seems to be all good. Are there any other questions now?
Anybody else? All right. That would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the financials.
Thank you, Lila.
Second.
Thank you, Ivan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Okay, let's go on now to new business. We have first on the agenda discussion and consideration for the battery backup and video detection quotes for 4th Avenue and Iowa Avenue. And I think, yes, we've got Kyle here.
He's actually here. She just a month or two ago to talk about this for the year. We just did the one at Washington and Forbes just a couple months ago. We're trying to get on involved. We're going to get this one built right here first of the year. So I think we can do it in June or July. It'll come out of next year's budget, July 1st. It's basically the same design. We're using the camera sensors instead of, you know, getting the loops out of the ground and putting the battery backup in. The battery backup will go at 4th and Washington where we last put our camera sensors in. So the actual expensive upgrade's been done at 4th and Washington there by Goodwill, but now it just needs the battery backup to where if we lose power, we don't just have a dead intersection. It'll actually still operate. Currently right now, the only intersections we have with battery backup are right there at the corner of Creamery and Walmart. So this will be our third one. And then the upgraded intersections with the camera sensors is Corner Creamery, Goodwill, 4th and Washington. And not at Walmart, we have a little bit different of a camera sensor when that got put in. It's not the same that we're doing now, but it's still better than the loops in the ground. So we're asking to do Iowa and Madison this go around. So after we have this one done, we'll be down to just one intersection, which will be nice.
Good. Anyone have questions?
No, it's a big step forward.
Yep.
Straight to get this done.
Yeah. Yep. And whenever we do get move forward with the intersection at Washington and 12, we'll just kind of want to make sure that they have the same type of system that we have, because it'll be nice to have spare parts and spare stuff to where, if, you know, if something were to happen and all it needs is, you know, like something for the conflict monitor, that we don't have to go hunt one down because it's different than the rest of our sections.
Right. Good point. Any motions?
I'll make a motion we approve this request for the battery backup and video detection quote for 4th Avenue and Iowa.
Second.
Thank you, Ivan. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed, same sign.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Kyle. Yeah. Number two, discussion and consideration of the status of the Bartholo Farmhouse. I looked at my phone. I was hoping I had some pictures when we looked at it last fall, but I don't.
It's not worth saving.
It's not better.
It's not well, worth saving. We need to let our fire department practice on it and let them take it down. It's worse than a nuisance property.
And yeah.
I wouldn't walk in it to look at the inside. No way.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we did last fall, and I hope it's no better.
And you were probably scared to death, weren't you?
Well, no, there were some places that definitely weren't as good.
Exactly. Yeah, but there'd be, it's got a lot.
If you tried to move it, it'd fall apart.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that.
That's why nobody wants to move it. It will just basically
did anyone come to look at it? As far as you know? Okay. All right. Well, so...
I'd make a motion that we allow the fire department of Washington, Iowa to head it up as they want to for their vent painting and then burn it to the ground.
And then will they then clean off the site or who does that?
We have to hire
somebody.
Yeah.
Will they do that or chief?
Yes, chief.
We would like to do some training in it as well.
Oh.
I've talked about that as he's online.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
we would like to do some training in it as well. It would be good for especially some of our newer officers for some entries and things like that.
So. Yeah.
Perfect.
Correct. Like that.
So?
Seconded.
So who made the motion?
Fran.
Okay, I almost forgot.
And I'll second.
And Elaine seconded it to, and this is to turn it over to the police and fire and to tear it down.
Yes.
Okay, doesn't really say that.
I made my motion to have the police department in the hall.
Okay, good. And this is just a voice vote, isn't it? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. Well, we tried to get somebody to use it, move it, but, you know, we have to make a decision then. Number three, discussion and consideration of approving a resolution to provide for a notice of hearing and letting. Wow. For the seal coat project.
Yay.
Yep. I make a motion we approve the seal coat.
Bidding process?
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay, the bidding process.
Very important.
Right? It's just a bidding process.
Right.
And we allocated money in the budget for this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we did. I just don't
okay, so Isla made the motion. Fran, is that a second? Okay. And Amanda, will you call the roll?
Right. Moore?
Yes.
Morgan?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I had trouble.
Didn't make it.
Ernest?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Youngblood?
Yes.
Steiner?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Number four, discussion and consideration of approving a resolution approving an amended permanent public utility easement out by the, around the cemetery, Umbrogue Cemetery. Anybody have any questions?
Pretty basic, isn't it?
Yeah, this is just a move it so they don't under our tree.
Yeah, really.
That's my good for the tree.
Yeah, so. No, and we're like,
no. All right.
Okay, I make a motion that we approve this resolution for public utility easement.
Thank you, Elaine. Do I have a second? Would like to
second.
All right, Ivan. And Amanda, will you call the roll?
Steiger?
Yes.
Ringo?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Okay, number five, discussion and consideration of approving a resolution approving the First Amendment to the agreement for the Washington Hotel Group.
And again, this is like basic. They basically have their bank financing and our financing. That they are now in the process of talking with all the investors and they don't have all of the money in hand yet. So they just, in the original agreement said they needed to have all the financing by the end of March. They just want a little extension to make sure they have everything ready before they start. So they're just asking for an extension till the 1st of June.
Will this delay the building progress or?
Not much, no.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just this, you know, in theory, the agreement could have been terminated if they,
right,
we could have terminated. So let's just give them a couple extra months to get that in place.
Okay.
It's there's nothing.
Not a big
deal.
There's
nothing really.
No risk.
No. I mean, there's no risk at all because our rebate isn't going to pay if there's nothing built. So
that's right. Okay. Any other questions about that?
I make a motion that we accept this extension from the Washington Hotel Group.
Thank you, Elaine. Do I have a second? Thank you. Isla, for the second. And Amanda, will you call the roll?
Yes. Youngquist.
Yes.
Staggers?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Rangel?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Okay, moving on to number six. This is discussion and consideration of approving a resolution for an agreement with Trane for the city's HVAC systems. So as you know, in January, part of this building lost its heat, and we came out. Well,
there were several.
Were these the folks that came out to help?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you have anything to add to the process here?
Not really. Just that by doing this agreement, they will come out once a year and inspect both the cooling and heating systems. And then it does put us at the top of the list, or you know, towards the top if we need them to come out. Without the agreement, not so much. So
this will cover after hours as well.
I mean, yeah, if we need them to come out, they absolutely will come out.
Okay.
Wow.
A lot of information here.
I know checked like all the refrigerant levels and hopefully detect any issues that will be running.
They're going to work with Kirk so he can do some of this.
Right. Kirk will do. There are some things that Kirk plans to do as far as maintenance that will help also with the system.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to add that this school system uses Trane for some of our HVAC stuff. And the technicians that come down to our school, the school I work at, very polite, very professional. They get in, they get their job done, they get out. And they always make sure that I'm aware that they're in the building. Which didn't happen with our previous company. I always see the roof hatch open, and we're like, who opened the roof hatch? That'd be my first question. Well, I would know that before I would spot it.
That's a good
one. They're really good people to work with.
Good. Okay.
So I would make the motion that we approve resolution approving the service agreement with Trane for the City Hall HVAC system.
Okay.
And a second that.
And a second by Ivan. And Amanda, will you call the roll, please?
Curtis?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Steiger?
Yes.
Ringel?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. We have one item of old business, but I think we're not ready to untable it. Is that correct?
No, I'm suggesting we not untable it, and then at the next meeting, we're going to bring back a couple of different ordinances for you guys to review.
Okay. All right. So that puts us at the end of our agenda. Why don't we do our once around before we take off? Chief, you want to start us?
Okay. We've made a conditional offer to a certified police officer. So we've made progress there. We'll finish up the necessary testing of physicals and things like that within the next few weeks. And by the next meeting, I'll be ready to release his name and move forward with that. Working on our annual report, I should have that completed and ready for a presentation at our next council meeting. And I talked with Chief DeLong. He wanted me to add that he will also be planning to do the fire and EMS annual report at the same time.
Okay.
We'll combine on that.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Kelsey or Amanda, do you have anything?
Well, we also made an offer to our mechanic, so hopefully we hear back from him soon.
That's good news. Very good. Amanda? Nothing? Nothing. Kevin?
I didn't hire anybody, so yeah.
Okay. And Deanna?
The only thing I wanted to mention is we're finally getting one of our welcome signs installed tomorrow, the one out by Highway 1 and West Buchanan. So we're supposed to be here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Okay, very good. Elaine, let's just go down the row. I mean, that means I have it here.
Got several things. As more trains come, the underpass is going to be used a lot more. And I had a citizen make a suggestion that as you approach from 5th, you have to inch out into the intersection in order to see south. And they suggested that a big mirror be put there so that you know what you're inching out from. They've seen it used in other cities and thought that would be a great place. Is wondering if we could look into that.
Good.
Especially with the increase in train traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I had a school bus driver remind me that the intersections of 4th and 2nd and 4th and 3rd are getting more and more difficult as people park right up to the end of the street. And he said, as Chief is sitting there shaking his head, yes, he's had some near misses. And when he has a near miss, he has children in the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very concerned about the parking on Main. His suggestion is parking one side only. But he understands that you know, this is not always the most popular, but he said they're probably the last block on Main shouldn't have parking up to the corner. Because I had a minibus driver also tell me about this same intersection. You cannot turn a big vehicle. He has a lot of clients down there and he can't to turn on those. Both those streets are very difficult to go east.
And what were those intersections again? 4th Avenue and 2nd Street?
Yes, and 3rd. Main, 2nd, and 3rd as well. 3rd isn't as bad. But with that being said, you know, there's still a lot of traffic that goes, that's the main.
Mm-hmm. 4th Avenue.
Yeah. Yeah. 3rd isn't as bad as 2nd and Main, but still concerns there. But then another person brought up at 3rd and 2nd, and 2nd and 2nd, the parking comes in parallel or like this, and you have to sneak out to the intersection to get a good look to see if there is a car coming from the south. And again, this was a bus driver.
What's this last one?
2nd? It's right there by Alliant.
Okay.
And right by Wingo Apartments.
Or so not. The 2nd Avenue back, and yeah. 2nd Street.
Yes, and 3rd and 2nd. The parking stalls blocks your view, for which they're concerned about that. They and wondered if anybody had, and I said, well, that's my job. I will bring it to the council and let you guys kind of look it over, and see what you think. We'll go forward from there.
Okay.
I think that is everything I have.
Okay. Thank you.
Ivan. Oh, not much. Friday, I had the pleasure of meeting the Lieutenant Governor, Adam Gregg. It was kind of nice. Other than that, everything's been pretty quiet in my area.
Okay. Very good. Last week, I attended a Semco landfill meeting and a nuisance committee. Hotel Motel committee met, and we're supporting, giving some support for a grant for Main Street. They're going to be purchasing some new downtown holiday decorations. At the county emergency management meeting, we received a bid for new countywide sirens to the tune of $655,000. As you know, Washington has committed $15,000 for a match for the grant that Marissa is writing to the Riverboat Foundation. On a more fun note, the Farm to Film Festival is coming up on April 20th and 21st. This location is one of the places that they're showing films, and it's totally free. So keep watching for news about that. I think that's about it.
I had some inquiries from some travel trailer people who are wondering about what the final ordinance is going to look like. Mm-hmm. So there's, if you look around town and behind houses, there's a lot of those in town. Apparently, I started looking, and there's a lot of travel trailers and whatever. So they're concerned a little bit about what's going to come out of the ordinance thing, which I told them we get back to them. People do not stop at stop signs. If they don't see somebody coming close to them, they just don't stop. It's especially South Iowa and Van Buren in my sort of territory, I've noticed. And South Fourth is a problem area too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just don't stop. I mean, if there's nobody else in sight, they just
stop.
You know. So anyway, and that's nothing new, of course, nothing new. Otherwise, I think it's pretty quiet in Third Ward, hopefully, and enjoying everybody out, enjoying the good weather. The neighbor was grilling tonight, which smelled so good. Anyway, so it's good. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Wyla. Fran.
Look, you hang out at the bus barn where all the drivers hang out for their breaks. You hear where all the bad intersections are in town. And I think the chief is still working on some other parking issues for an ordinance before we fix the one at Lincoln. Am I correct on that, sir? Okay. I don't know if we can speed that up any or not, but I know we've had at least a couple right in front of Lincoln School where a bus is stopped at the south end because the buses pick up at two spots. Main doors and the south doors. Uh-huh. And if the bus pick up the south door, they pull out onto Fourth before they get to the main doors. And if you got somebody that's just dropping their kid off there in a no parking zone, they pull out in front of the bus. Bus driver slams on his brakes, and you got kids bump their head on the seat in front of them. But that's an ongoing issue, and the chief is going to address that for us. So I want to keep council very aware of that because. Eventually, not if, but when it happens, someone's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. And I hate to see that, but it's going to happen sooner or later. With cell phone talking, driving, that type of thing going on, it's going to happen.
All right. So, well, thank you for
other than that, this. College baseball started last weekend. Thank you very much. I enjoyed my first game. Had something happen to me that never happened 35 years of doing baseball, but we handled it, sir. It was fun.
All right.
On that, I would like to make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Okay, thank you, Brad. And a second by Elaine. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Aye. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
We could be any city staff, and that sign goes up tomorrow day one.
Yeah. Yes.